إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، indeed our praise is due to Allah تبارك وتعالى. We praise him as he deserves to be praised, and we ask for his aid and his assistance, and we seek his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah عز وجل from the evil of our own souls and from the evil of our wicked actions. Whomsoever Allah عز وجل guides, then none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah عز وجل misguides, then none can guide. I testify that none has the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah Azza wa Jalla alone without any partners. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger to proceed. So continuing with Sifat al-Salah, the description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, wasalna ila al-fasl al-thamin. And we've reached chapter number 8. Alhamdulillah, we've reached chapter number 8, which is Sifat al-Salah ala dhaw'i ma warada an Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This chapter is the description of the prayer in light of what is established from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sifat al-Salah, description of the prayer على ضوء ما ورد عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, in accordance to what is established from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning in the authentic Sunnah. Because remember, Ikhwan, حفظكم الله, brothers and sisters, that the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is what ما ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول وفعل وتقرير, that which is established from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from statement, action, and approval. So Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, يَجِبُ أَن نَعْلَمَ أَنَّ مِن شَرْطِ الْعِبَادَةِ الْإِخْلَاسُ وَالْمُتَابَعَةِ لِلْرَسُولِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is binding upon us to know that from the conditions of worship, that it is a condition of worship, that from the conditions of worship is sincerity and following the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إذن لابد أن ندرس كيف كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي. إذن لابد أن ندرس كيف كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي. نعم. Therefore, if this is the case, then we must study how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray, so that we can imitate him and pray in the same fashion. So it is upon us, it is a must, that we study how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to pray. Who can give me a proof for that, for these two conditions? يجب أن نعلم أن من شرط العبادة, that from the conditions of worship is al-ikhlas, sincerity, and following the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Muhammad, عندك دليل الإخلاص.
ومن يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحد.
نعم, أحسنت. The ayah that Muhammad mentioned, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ, whoever hopes to meet his Lord, then let him perform righteous deeds and not associate any partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. نعم, the action, it has to be done sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Otherwise, Allah will not accept it. Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept it whatsoever. أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ, I'm free from having any partners, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said in the Hadith Qudsi. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ مَعِي غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. So Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept any action unless it's done sincerely for his sake. If it is mixed with showing off, Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept it. What about the second condition, al-mutaba'ah, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مِنْ شَرْطِ الْعِبَادَةِ. Abdullah, أَعْطِينِ دَلِيلًا. نعم, give me a proof that from the conditions of worship is to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow the sunnah, na'am. If you don't get it, jaseer. أحسنت. نعم جزاكم الله خيرا. نعم, as the brother Abdul Rahim mentioned, the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم narrated by أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها. نعم, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فورد. In one narration, whoever does an action which is not in accordance to this affair of ours, it will be rejected. In another narration, نعم, another wording of the same hadith, whoever innovates into this affair of ours, that which is not from it, it is rejected. نعم, if it's not in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, it is rejected. So Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, طيب, from the conditions of worship is what? Sincerity and following the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Therefore it's a must. If this is if these are the conditions of worship, it's a must that we learn how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray, in order for what, our prayers to be correct, brothers and sisters. So the Shaykh, he said, وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَمَرَنَا بِإِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. This is because Allah the Mighty and Majestic commanded us to establish the prayer. When he said, فَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, and establish the prayer, and give us zakat, and bow down along with those who bow. Na'am, the men, they bow with those who bow. Na'am. So Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, وَإِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ بِهَا الْإِنسَانُ مُسْتَقِيمَةً عَلَى حَسْبِ مَا جَاءَتْ بِالشَّرِيعَةِ. What does it mean to establish the prayer? It does not mean to pray how any person wants to pray. مِنْ قِبْلِ نَفْسِهِ, from his own self. No. To establish the prayer means what? Is that a person performs it in an upright, sound manner in accordance to what the legislation of Islam came with. وَذَلِكَ بِإِخْلَاصِهَا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. And this is to perform it sincerely for the sake of Allah عز وجل alone, without any partners, with ikhlas, and to follow the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Is that clear to everyone so far? نعم. وَقَدْ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, surely, verily, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, صَلُّوا, pray, it's a command. Pray how? كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, as you have seen me pray. That's the first part, the command to pray. Naam, how do we pray? Is it as everyone chooses? Everyone picks their own way to pray. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. لَا, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كَمَا, just as, رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, just like you see me pray. Meaning from my sunnah.
Now when you say that, Hassan, as he said, as you see me pray, right? But we never seen
it. From his sunnah.
I know, but we...
Now, we never saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning based upon his sunnah. Based upon what is authentic in his sunnah. Is that clear to everyone? As you have seen me pray, who's he addressing? He's speaking to who? The Sahaba. The Sahaba, the companions of Ridwanullahi alayhim, they conveyed how we pray to the Tabi'un, their students. The Tabi'un conveyed that to their students. And this is preserved in the authentic ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, that's clear? فَأَمَرَى, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded us to pray as we have seen him pray. Like the brother mentioned, we did not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but meaning what to us? Meaning what is established in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I'm asking you.
Right.
Obviously you didn't. We didn't see him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, we know how he looks based in authentic ahadith. We have descriptions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how do we know how he looked? From the sunnah. How do we know ماذا? How the Prophet ﷺ used to eat? From his sunnah. How do we know how he used to pray? From his sunnah. How do we know how he used to fast? For his sunnah. كَمَا سَيَأْتِي ذِكْرُهُ, as the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen will explain later on. So the Shaykh, he said, وَهَذَا الْخِطَابِ الصَّحَابَ. This, here the Prophet ﷺ is addressing the companions. Here when he said, صَلُّوا, pray, كَمَا رَأَيْتَمُونِي أُصَلِّي, as you see me pray. وَخِطَابَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم لِلصَّحَابَةِ خِطَابًا لَهُمْ وَلِلْأُمَّةِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses his companions with something, then this is applicable to the ummah, every Muslim, until يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the companions with something, this is applicable to the whole of the ummah until the Day of Judgment. Is that clear? فَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ. Upon the authority of Abu Huraira رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ. Abu Huraira, he said, أن رجلا دخل المسجد ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جالس في ناحية المسجد. A man entered the masjid while the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was sitting at one side of the masjid. فصلى ثم جاء فسلم عليه فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The man, he prayed and then he came and he greeted the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He gave the salams to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, وَعَلَيْكَ السَّلَامِ. He returned the greetings. He said, إِرْجِعْ فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ. He said, go back and pray because verily you have not prayed. Allahu Akbar. But look at this, ikhwan. Even this hadith, there's so many benefits in this hadith. The hadith which the scholars have referred to it as the hadith of the man who prayed incorrectly. Many benefits. Firstly, look, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, إِرْجِعْ فَصَلِّ. Go back and pray. For verily you have not prayed. Did he get angry? Yeah. Why are you telling me? No, he never. You make a mistake, alhamdulillah, nasiha, advice. Naam. Go back and pray, for verily you did not pray. Imagine you said that to somebody in this time, subhanallah, illa man rahim Allah. Yasih, wa yatakallam, wa yata'an, wa yasub, wa li'iyadu billah. Naam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, go back and pray, for verily you have not prayed. فَرَجَعَ فَصَلَّ ثُمَّ جَاءَ. The man, he went back, he prayed. And then he came again, فَسَلَّمَ, and he gave salams to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَعَلَيْكَ السَّلَامِ. He returned the greetings. فَرْجِعْ فَسَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُسَلِّ. Go back and pray, for verily you have not prayed. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. How would somebody respond in our time to this? Go back and pray, for verily you have not prayed. In our time, a person, mother, is offended to be corrected, illa man rahim Allah. To be corrected is a ni'mah, it's a blessing. Al-raju' ila al-haqi fadila. To return to the truth is a virtue, it's a blessing. Person should say, alhamdulillah, that Allah Azza wa Jal guided me to that which is correct. Because if nobody was to point out a mistake, then how would you know that it was an error? It's a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person of truth, a person who loves truth, and that should be the goal of every believer, never becomes upset when the truth is presented to him. He should be delighted, no matter who brought it to him. Even when they used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the non-Muslims, whether they be Jew or Christian, if they said something that was true, he would acknowledge that it was true, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he would never reject the truth. Because rejection of the truth in itself is oppression. Now, if somebody comes to you and they say something that is truthful, we accept the truth. That doesn't mean that, you know, you advise somebody to go out and study with a person who's munharif fi aqidatihi wa deenihi. No. But if somebody says truth, you accept it. So the man, he came back. فَقَالَ فِي الثَّانِيَ أَوْ فِي الَّتِي بَعْدَى. So the man, he said, the second time or the third time. Or the third time, meaning after three times, go verily, go back and pray because you have not prayed. The man said what? عَلِّمْنِي يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Teach me, O Messenger of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Look at the humility. Teach me. Teach me, O Messenger of Allah. If you don't know, there's nothing wrong with not knowing. There's nothing wrong. All of us, we are ignorant of things and we know things. Some of us know more than others. But there is nothing wrong with not knowing. What's the problem? When you pretend to know. When you pretend to know. When you're a feigner, a pretender. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? Al-mutashabbi' bima lam yu'ta. The one who pretends and feigns to possess something that he does not possess, he is like somebody who wears two garments of falsehood. And how many internet pretenders do we have in this age? Pretending knowledge wa hum min ajhalin nas. But the blame is not just upon them, it's upon the people that even spend the time listening to them. Wal-iyadu billah. The calamity is not just them, it's the ones who listen to them. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless us with beneficial knowledge. But look at the humility. Alimni ya Rasulullah. Teach me, O Messenger of Allah. Naam, if somebody finds somebody more knowledgeable than them, naam, teach me, benefit me, afid me. Nothing wrong with that. Two people will not attain knowledge, the arrogant and the one who is shy. The arrogant because he thinks he knows. And the one who is shy, because he's embarrassed that he does not know. There's no shyness. If you don't know something, alhamdulillah. Again, the problem is when a person pretends to know and he does not know. Al-jahal al-basit. Simple ignorance, where a person acknowledges that they do not know, is not as bad as al-jahal al-murakkab, where a person does not know that they do not know, and they pretend like they know. That's the mushkila. Even the ulama, they say a man's statement, la adri, I do not know, it shows his makana, it shows his station. Why? Because he fears Allah, he's not worrying about the people. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَأَصْبِغِ الْوُضُوءِ. When you arise to pray, then perform wudu correctly. ثُمَّ اسْتَقْبِلْ الْقِبْلَ فَكَبِّرْ. And face the qibla and then say Allahu Akbar, say the takbir. So Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, وَنَفْيُ الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ صَلَاةَ الرَّجُلُ هُنَا نَفْيٌ شَرْعِي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, negation of the man's prayer is a legislative negation. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ is saying you have not prayed correctly, meaning according to the Sharia. He's not negating the fact that the man had prayed. The man prayed. But he's negating what? He's negating the fact that this man has prayed properly. Is that clear to everyone? So when the Prophet ﷺ said to him, فَرْجِعْ فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ, return and pray, for verily you have not prayed. He's not saying, the Prophet ﷺ is not saying that this man did not pray whatsoever. No, he prayed. But in Islam, according to the Sharia, his prayer is not correct. That's clear to everyone? Na'am. لِأَنَّ الرَّجُلُ, because the man صَلَّى, he did pray. وَلَكِنَّهُ لَمْ يُصَلِّ شَرْعًا. However, he did not pray in accordance to the Sharia, the Quran and the Sunnah. Why? Because لِعَدَمْ. Because the individual, he was not calm and tranquil in his prayer. Because the individual, he was not tranquil and calm in his prayer. فَكَرَّرَ ذَلِكَ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يُرَدِّدُهُ لِيَصِلْ إِلَى هَذِي النَّتِيجَةِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم repeated this three times. فَرْجِعْ, go back and pray, for verily you have not prayed. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم repeated this three times, so that this individual, what? He could reach this natija, this point. And the point was what? The point that was being made was to cause this individual to desire knowledge. To desire knowledge, to want to know how to pray properly. Irji, go back and pray, for verily you have not prayed. And at the last time, the man, he said, O Messenger of Allah, teach me. Meaning, teach me how to pray. And there comes, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he mentions, rahimahullahu ta'ala, later on, there comes in the hadith itself, that the man, he said, فَمَا أُحْسِنُ غَيْرَهُ, because I'm not able to do anything better. I can't pray better than this. Meaning he didn't know. So there's nothing wrong with not knowing. So the Prophet ﷺ kept repeating this to the man so that he had a thirst for knowledge. حَتَّى يُلْقَى عَلَيْهِ الْعِلْمِ وَهُوَ أَشَّدُّ مَا يَكُونْ شَوْقًا إِلَيْهِ, so that knowledge could be presented to him and he would have a strong desire to learn it. And it would become established within himself. It would become firm for him. فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانِ, therefore, every person, أَنْ يَحْرِسَ عَلَى تَطْبِيقِ مَا وَرَدَ عَنِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ, every person should exert their utmost effort to implement what is established from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم في كيفية الصلاة, as it pertains to how he prayed. لِيَكُونَ مُمْتَثِلًا, so that they can implement the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, pray as you have seen me pray. Pray as you have seen me pray. وَجَاءَتْ كَيْفِيَةُ الصَّلَاةِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ مُطْلَقًا. Al-Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, the description of the prayer is found in the Qur'an in a general sense. Meaning it hasn't been explained in detail. The description of the prayer has come in the Qur'an in a general fashion. It has not been explained in detail. وَلَمْ تُبَيَّنْ بَيَانًا كَامِلًا, it has not been explained completely. وَلَكِنَّ السُنَّةَ بَيَّنَ ذَلِكَ بَيَانًا كَامِلًا, but the sunnah clarified this in totality. You cannot have, na'am, a person, the Qur'aniyun, those people that reject the sunnah, how do they pray? Because the sunnah clarifies exactly how to pray. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, and those who reject the sunnah in totality, how can they be up from the religion of Islam and upon the religion of Islam, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلَكِنَّ السُنَّةَ قُمْ يَا يَاسِرْ نَعَمْ وَلَكِنَّ السُنَّةَ بَيَّنَتْ ذَلِكَ بَيَانًا كَامِلًا. The sunnah clarifies this in detail. وَبَيَانَ السُنَّةَ مِنْ بَيَانِ الْقُرْآنِ لِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And the sunnah clarifying this and explaining it is because the sunnah explains the Qur'an as Allah said, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have revealed to you a dhikr, the Qur'an, so that you can explain it to them. وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. So look, Allah revealed the Qur'an to the Prophet ﷺ for him to explain what was revealed to them. His explanation is what? The explanation of the Prophet ﷺ is what? Abu Abd al-Rahman. La, his explanation? Tafaddal. The sunnah. The explanation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the sunnah. Na'am. فَالسُنَّةَ بَيَّنَتْ كَيْفَ تُؤَدِّ الصَّلَةِ. The sunnah has clarified how to pray. وَنَحْنُ نَذْكُرُهَا. And we will mention that, inshaAllah, by the will of Allah. بِقَدْرِ الْإِمْكَانِ, as much as we are able, عَلَى حَسْبِ مَا عَلِمْنَاهُ مِنْ سُنَّةِ الرَّسُولِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in accordance to that which we know from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَنَقُولُ وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ. And we say, and success lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَخْرُجُ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُتَطَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَدَثِ الْأَصْغَرِ وَالْأَكْبَرِ. As Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, the man, he leaves from his home and he is pure from both minor ritual impurities and major ritual impurities. What's the difference between the two? We've taken this already. مِنْ شُرُوتِ الصَّلَاةِ الطَّهَارَ مِنَ الْحَدَثِ الْأَصْغَرِ وَالْحَدَثِ الْأَكْبَرِ. So the Shaykh, he said, the man leaves his house pure from both minor ritual impurities and major ritual impurities. What's the difference between the two? Without screaming out. Fadl, Abdul Walid. Naam, the major ritual impurity requires al-ghusl to remove it. The minor ritual impurity, Malik, requires what? Ahsant, al-wudu, to remove it. Naam, and likewise the individual, he leaves his home clean from al-najasa, impurity in itself. Bisakinatin, with serenity and calmness. Qasidan as-salah, and he intends to go to pray. Hatta inna Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَمَرَنَا إِذَا سَمِعْنَا الْإِقَامَةَ أَلَّا نُسْرِعْ. أولاً, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he commanded us, when we hear the iqama, to not rush. If we hear the iqama, we should not run to the prayer. Is that clear to everyone? We shouldn't start running to the salah. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمَ الْإِقَامَةَ فَمْشُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالسَّكِينَةِ وَالْقَارِ وَلَا تُسْرِعُوا. If you hear the iqama, then walk to the prayer and you are calm. If you hear the iqama, then walk to the prayer and you are calm and with serenity. And do not rush. Do not rush. لِأَنَّكَ مُقْبِلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Because you are going to worship Allah عز وجل. وَالسَّكِينَ فِي الْقَلْبِ. Tranquility is in the heart and calmness is apparent فِي الْهَيْئَةِ, in one's physical movements and appearance. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, فَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا. What you catch from the prayer, then pray. وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَأَتِمُّوا. And what you miss, then make it up. Then the Shaykh, he said, وَتُحْتَسَبُ الْخُطَى. Every footstep that you walk to the masjid will be rewarded. Allahu Akbar. Every masjid that a person, every step that a person, he walks to the masjid, for each step there will be a reward and a recompense. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَمْ يَخْطُ خُطْوَةً إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَةً. That a person does not take a step, meaning walking to the masjid, except that Allah Azza wa Jalla raises him in a degree. May Allah Azza wa Jalla raise us all in degree. وَحَطَّ عَنْهُ خَطِيئًا. And Allah Azza wa Jalla wipes away a sin. ثُمَّ يَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدِ. Then a person, he enters the masjid مُقَدِّمًا رِجْلَ وَالْيُمْنَ قَائِلًا. A person enters the masjid, what foot does he put first? Naam, the right foot. And he says, Bismillah, wassalamu ala rasulillah, in the name of Allah, and the salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ighfir li dhunubi. O Allah, forgive my sins. وافتح لي أبواب رحمتك, and open for me the gates of your mercy. أعوذ بالله العظيم, I seek refuge with Allah the Supreme and with His noble face. وبوجه الكريم وسلطان القديم من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله العظيم وبوجه الكريم وسلطانه القديم من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge with Allah the Supreme and with His noble face and His eternal authority from the accursed devil, from the accursed shaitan. Then the Shaykh, he said, وَيَتَسَوَّكَ عِنْدَ الصَّلَاةِ, the person cleans his teeth using the siwak before praying, وَيَسْتَقْبِلِ الْقِبْلَى, and they face the qibla, بِجَمِيعِ بَدَنِهِ, with all of his body, بِخُشُوعٍ, with humility and focus, and his heart is present, and he believes that he, the servant, is speaking privately to Allah. There's a mistranslation there in the book that you have. What does it say? La, that's a khata. Wallahu a'lam. That which is correct is that the servant believes that he is speaking privately to Allah. And there comes in Al-Bukhari, Bab al-Musalli yunaji rabbahu. The servant, the one who is praying, he speaks privately to Allah. And there comes in the hadith of Anas, radiallahu an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, inna ahadukum idha salla yunaji rabbahu. That verily when one of you prays, he speaks privately to his Lord, meaning Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Naam, so the correct translation there, and to believe that the servant, is speaking privately to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh is mentioning here some of the adab, the etiquettes of the prayer. Then he goes on, he says, wa takbirat al-ihram, and inshallah ta'ala will take this, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, the takbirat al-ihram. And brothers and sisters, from this one matter, the opening takbir, one of the brothers said, you know, that he thought that we were going to do the Sifat al-Salah, the description of the prayer, showing how downstairs. At the moment, there's nothing to show right now. We won't get that far. But inshallah, the next lesson, inshallah, we will go downstairs, inshallah, and we will do the dars downstairs, so that we can highlight, bi'idhnillah, exactly how the actions are to be performed. But for now, alhamdulillah, there's no need. Takbirat al-Ihram, the opening takbir, showing the importance of knowledge. The Shaykh, he said, وَيَنْوِي وَيُكَبِّرْ. The person, he makes the intention. The intention is from what? From what of the prayer? Who can tell me? تفضل, أخي, نعم. Yes, what's the intention is from what? We've taken it already, huh?
What's the question?
The intention is considered to be what of the prayer? From what? Abdul Wali. The other Abdul Wali. Now, from the conditions of the prayer. Intention is from the conditions of the prayer. So the person, he makes the intention. وَيُكَبِّرْ. And he makes the takbir fayaqul, saying, Allahu Akbar. Look at this, ikhwan. Allahu Akbar. First of all, the Shaykh, he clarifies the meaning of it. Akbar min kulli shay. Allah Azza wa Jalla is greater than everything. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is greater than everything. And he mentions in another book, Al-Sharh Al-Mumti', Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, Allah Azza wa Jalla is greater than everything as it pertains to His self, as it pertains to His names, as it pertains to His attributes. Allah is greater than everything. And no doubt, when a person says that, everything of the dunya should disappear from him, and he should focus upon what? Prayer. He should focus upon a salah. Naam. So, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says, so then he says, Allahu Akbar, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal is greater than everything. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is greater than everything. There is none greater than Allah Azza wa Jalla in might and splendor. So He is greater than everything in every sense. And then the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah al-Azim. He said, look, how great, ma'adham, hikmatullah, how great is the wisdom of Allah that the takbir has been chosen instead of the tasbih. Meaning we open the prayer saying, Allahu Akbar, not Subhanallah. Why? لأن التكبير يدل على علو الشأن والارتفاع. Because when you say Allahu Akbar, it indicates the exaltedness of majesty and highness. Allah is greater than everything. فاختيار التكبير عند ابتداء الصلاة مناسب تماما لهذه الحكمة. So therefore, that it is legislated to say Allahu Akbar to enter the prayer, no doubt is appropriate due to this wisdom. Naam, Allah is greater than everything. ولابد من التكبيرة الأولى a must to say الله أكبر the opening تكبير وهي تكبيرة الإحرام التي لا تنعقد الصلاة بدونها. There's no prayer without it. If a person does not say the تكبيرة الإحرام, there's no salah to begin with. Is that clear to everyone? That's واضح. So if somebody doesn't say the تكبيرة الإحرام, they have not entered the prayer. They have not started to begin with. So if somebody doesn't say the تكبيرة الإحرام and they say, you know, I pray my prayer, but I remember, I'm certain I did not make the تكبيرة الإحرام. It is said to them, go and repeat the prayer, because verily there's no prayer. The individual did not commence it, he did not start it. وَسُمِّيَتْ بِذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا كَبَّرَ دَخَلَ فِي حَرِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ كَمَا يَدْخُلَ الْمُحْرِمِ بِحَجِ أَوْ عُمْرَ إِلَى حَرِيمِ النُّسُكِ. The Sheikh said it's called تَكْبِيرَةِ الْإِحْرَامِ. Why? Because you enter into a state of al-ihram, meaning the sanctity of the prayer. Hence certain things become impermissible to do during the prayer once you enter it. When you say Allahu Akbar, that's takbirat al-ihram. Now it becomes impermissible for you to talk and do things which are not from the prayer. When you say Allahu Akbar, can you go and play basketball now?
No,
you can't. That would nullify your salah. If you say Allahu Akbar, can you pick up the phone and have a conversation in the salah? No. Why? Because everything after the takbirat al-ihram is forbidden unless it's from the salah. So the takbirat al-ihram, saying Allahu Akbar, it forbids everything that is not from the salah. So a person enters into the sanctity of the prayer, just like the pilgrim enters into the sanctity of Hajj or Umrah rites. Or Umrah rites. And due to this, when he says Allahu Akbar, all that which is impermissible for a person in prayer now becomes impermissible for him. And the proof of this, that it is a pillar from the pillars of the prayer to say Allahu Akbar, is the hadith of the one who prayed badly. We mentioned the hadith. And the Shaykh mentions it again. The shahid from the hadith is what? When the Prophet ﷺ said to him, go back and pray. The man at the last time, he said, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ, by the one who sent you with truth. He swore by Allah Azza wa Jal. فَمَا أُحْسِنْ غَيْرَهُ فَعَلِّمْنِي. I cannot pray better than this, teach me. قال, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, when you stand to pray, فَكَبِّرْ. He commanded him to say what? Allahu Akbar. فَكَبِّرْ, meaning say Allahu Akbar with your tongue. To say Allahu Akbar with your tongue. فَكَبِّرْ. So that is a proof that it's from the pillars of the prayer to say the opening takbir. وفي رواية, in one narration, and this narration the Shaykh also he mentioned earlier, إذا قمت إلى الصلاة فأصبغ الوضوء ثم استقبل القبلة فكبر. If you arise to pray, perform wudu correctly, then face the qibla, and then you say the takbir, Allahu Akbar. Then the Shaykh said, ولا بد من أن يقول, it is a must that you say Allahu Akbar. فلو قال Allahu أجل. It is a must for a person to say Allahu Akbar, and it is not accepted, and it is not correct for him to say Allahu أجل. It is not correct for him to say Allahu أجل. In the Arabic, Naam Allahu Ajal, and in English, that we would translate that to mean Allah Azza wa Jal is the most majestic. Meaning you can't change the two because it is not accepted. وَلَوْ قَالَ Allahu A'zam, if somebody said Allah is A'zam, again, لَمْ يَصِّحْ, it would not be accepted from him. وَلَوْ قَالَ, if somebody said Allahu Akbar, that's not correct. Why? Who can tell me? How? If somebody said Allahu Akbar, why is that not correct? Who? Somebody tell me.
It's like a question sense, like a question.
How do you know it's a question?
I just want to have more classes.
Naam, you're right. Naam, this is a question. Allahu Akbar. You're saying, is Allah the greatest? Look, ikhwan, the importance of learning the religion. Look, it's muhim. If we don't take time to learn, how can we give da'wah? Firstly, forget about da'wah. How can we make sure that our worship is correct? Again, a calamity. How can somebody get a sadr li da'wah, puts himself forward to give da'wah, makes videos يعني, on YouTube, ila akhiri, and they have not sat to learn? Don't know nothing. لا يعرف شيئا. Allah al-Musta'an. Showing what the importance of learning. A person saying, Allahu Akbar, just them saying it that wrong, the takbir they're saying, is Allah the greatest? Subhanallah al-Azim. No, I mean, obviously the believer would never intend to ask that question. Naam, Shaykh Yahya.
But is that because you held it out?
Yes, because you've elongated the, here, Allahu Akbar, you've elongated it. بمد الحمزة بمد الحمزة لم يصح. You've elongated the hamza because it's like you said ah Allahu Akbar. Is Allah the greatest? So the mad ah Allahu Akbar. Is Allah the greatest? لأنه إذا قال الله أكبر, if a person says that, the sentence now becomes what? صارت الجملة الخبرية استفهامية. Whereas before it was a statement, an informative sentence. When you say Allahu Akbar, Allah, لفظ الجلالة is what? لفظ الجلالة is مبتدأ. Allah, نعم, is the greatest. It's a statement. Now when you put the Hamza in front of it, Allahu Akbar, you're saying, is Allah the greatest? It becomes a question. Is that clear to everyone? Showing the importance of learning. When we say learn, it's not blocking anyone from anything. Learn so that our worship can be correct. Learn that we don't speak about the religion without knowledge. Learn so that we do not misguide ourselves and we do not misguide others. Why would somebody rush to teach and they do not have knowledge? We are not tablighis. We are not tablighis. We're not jama'at al-tabligh that say to people, even after they just accept Islam, go and give da'wah. Let's go and give da'wah for 40 days. Give da'wah to what? What's he calling to? He doesn't have no ilm. Da'wah to what? Rather, they should say to him, sit in the masjid and learn. Learn how to recite Quran. Learn, alhamdulillah, your religion. So that your worship is correct. And alhamdulillah, if when you get knowledge and Allah blesses you, alhamdulillah, give da'wah. But to be honest, ikhwan, you would be amazed to find how many people have this misunderstanding of Jama'at al-Tabligh. And they think that you don't have to have knowledge to give da'wah. And they think those who have knowledge are equal to the ignorant. And they equate the two. Even though Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say are those who know equal to those who know not. They're not equal. The alim, the scholar, is not equal to the one who does not know. The jahil, they're not equal. Na'am. So it's important that we learn. We take time to learn. Alhamdulillah, learn the Arabic language in order for our tongues to be correct. Alhamdulillah, learn, no doubt, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for our creed to be correct, for our worship, our salah, our siyam to be correct. But it takes knowledge. Alhamdulillah, in this, walillah alhamd, fi masjidina, in our masjid, la nad'u ila shakhsiyya. We don't call to any shakhsiyya. People say personalities. What does that mean? Calling to personalities. Calling to personalities means that you call people to taqleed, to blind follow men. That's what that means. Alhamdulillah, who has ever heard us call in a day, yawm min al-ayyam, to blind follow anyone? We say, follow the Qur'an, the sunnah, with the understanding of the salaf of this ummah. That's what we call to, alhamdulillah. وَهَذَا الَّذِي نُحَاوِلُ نُطَبِّقُهُ. And that's what we strive to implement. Alhamdulillah, we welcome anyone. Alhamdulillah, yattafiq ma'ana ala hadhihi al-tariqa, or the one who wants to learn. The one who is not pleased with that path, Quran, Sunnah, understanding of the Salaf, and they're not happy with it, then the earth of Allah is spacious. The earth of Allah is spacious. You don't have to come here. Nobody is compelling you to come here. If you want to come here, ahlan wa sahlan marhaba. But if you don't want to, alhamdulillah, it's not about numbers. It's not about numbers. It never has been about numbers. It's about what? Following Quran, Sunnah, with the understanding of the Salaf, of this ummah. Going back, the Shaykh, he said, and then he mentioned the ayah in Surah An-Naml, is Allah Azza wa Jal better or that which you associate partners with him? Na'am. And obviously this is a criticism of the people of shirk. But the shahid is that وَأَنْتَ تُخْبِرْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَكْبَرُ. When you say Allahu Akbar, you're informing that Allah is the greatest. You're not asking a question. You're not asking, is Allah the greatest? ومعلوم أن هذا لحن. It's known by anyone who has knowledge of the Arabic language, that this is a grammatical error and mistake, and it is not correct. بوجه من الوجوه. If you say Allahu Akbar, is Allah the greatest? كان لحنا يحيل المعنى. This is a grammatical mistake that changes the whole meaning of the sentence. Showing what? The importance of learning. Even this, ikhwan, the importance of taking one's time to learn. If, for example, me, I want to lead the salah. Before I rush to lead the salah, sit with somebody and say, Akhi, can you make sure I'm saying Fatiha properly? Akhi, can you make sure I'm saying this surah properly? Before I rush to do it, if you want to make the adhan, before you rush to make the adhan, say, Akhi, can you make sure, you know, I'm saying the adhan properly? Naam, can you listen to me to make sure I'm saying it properly? This is the same thing with everything. Before you rush to teach something, make sure you're saying it properly. Make sure you have correct knowledge of what you are mother conveying. This is muhim. The Shaykh said, likewise, if a person says, وَلَوْ قُلْتَ أَلَّهُ أَكْبَارُ, and so many people say that, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهُ, Allahu Akbar. People say that. Allahu Akbar. And people may, some listening may not know the difference. What's the difference? Who can highlight the error in that? Hassan, and al-Khata. Allahu Akbar. Naam, you're adding an alif after the ba. بِمَدِّ الْبَا. فَقَدْ قَالُوا الْعُلَمَاء, the scholars, they say this is not correct either. It's not accepted. Why? لَأَنَّ أَكْبَار, the word akbar is what? What does it mean? Akbar. Naam, it's the plural of the word al-kabar. Al-kabar is a drum that they use. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ for music. فَأَغَانِي and anasheeds. وَهَذَا يُفْسِدَ الْمَعْنَى. This corrupts the meaning. وَيُخِلْ بِهِ فَلَا يَسِحَ التَّكْبِيرِ حِينَ إِذٍ. And the Shaykh says the takbir. The person has not said the takbir if he says that. Allahu Akbar. So ikhwan, showing the importance of taking time to learn, taking time out to learn. نَتَعَلَّمْ وَنَصْبِرَ عَلَى التَّعَلُّمْ. Tending the circles, learning. Alhamdulillah, in the masajid of the sunnah, wherever they are. Being patient with that. نَعَمْ. صَبْرَ عَلَى طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ. Being patient upon the Qur'an and the sunnah with the understanding of the salaf of the ummah. Being patient upon it. With all the difficulty that comes with it. With all the other that comes with it. Being patient, learning. Alhamdulillah, be patient. Even if it's just you on your own, be patient. لا تستوحش. Be patient, no matter what. Alhamdulillah. With that, alhamdulillah, we'll stop. The Shaykh goes on to mention something else. Another Arabic point. However, inshallah, الَّذِي ذَكَرْنَاهُ inshallah كَافِيَ بِيَدْنِ اللَّهِ. And then we'll start with how to make the actual takbir in terms of what do you do with your hands? What do you do with your hands when you're saying the takbir? Alhamdulillah, we've established how it is said, but what do you do with your hands?